Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Please be seated.
So this is the year in which our lectionary calls for us to take our gospel readings all from the book of Matthew, which is why we read from Luke today. Because the story that we read today only occurs in the Gospel of Luke. The story of the disciples on Easter day walking to the town of Emmaus. Now, one of the big mysteries to me in this passage is the question, why didn't the disciples recognize Jesus? Like, how did they fail to recognize who this was? The fact that we call them disciples means that they had spent the last several years of their lives literally following Jesus around, learning from him, sharing all kinds of experiences with him, being shaped by him. That's what it means to be a disciple. And here he comes and says, hello. And they're like, who are you? I mean, it's like comedy at the end of the book of Luke. It reminds me of an event that occurred when my family lived in Bellingham, Washington. When we lived in Bellingham, we lived on the top of Alabama Hill. It was the biggest hill in town, and it was called Alabama Hill because Alabama Street ran straight up it. We lived on Crestline Drive, right? Literally on the crest of this hill. And if you went all the way down Alabama Hill, and you went on the other side of Alabama Street, there you would find the local elementary school. And so most days, I would walk my children, and often a couple children from across the street, out to the end of our block, where the bus would come along and pick them up and wind them back to school. But some days, they decided they wanted to walk, or more often, bicycle to school. Bicycling to school going down Alabama Hill was a lot of fun. Coming home at the end of the day, not so much. But one day they wanted to bicycle to school, and I said, great. I put on my running shoes. I said, you guys go ahead. There's a trail that goes straight to their school. I'll come along behind. If anything happens, I'll be right there. And if not, you'll be at school, and I'll get a run in. So they took off. I started running. They quickly went out of sight. But then I was surprised to catch up with them. In just a few minutes, they had gotten to the bridge, the footbridge that goes over Alabama Street so that children can make it safely to school. And there they were, perched at the top of the bridge, all four of them blocking the whole path, watching and waving to the cars going by underneath. They were waiting for their bus to come along so that they could wave. And so I kept running, right? And they were intent looking at those cars. They didn't look at me. I came up to them and wove between them to get past them on this bridge, and they didn't acknowledge me at all. It was like they hadn't even seen me. So I kept running, and just a few minutes later, they caught up with me, and their eyes were as big as saucers. How did you get here? They thought I had teleported. And I said, I ran right literally in front of your eyes, right through the midst of you. But you didn't see. They weren't paying attention. They weren't looking for me. And I can relate to this, right? When I meet people in the wrong context, right, if I'm in some other state and I meet someone that I know from elsewhere, it can take me a few minutes to say, do I know you? Maybe you've had that experience too. Maybe that's the experience that these disciples had on this road to Emmaus. Right? 3 days earlier, they had watched Jesus be crucified, murdered, lynched by the state. And here he was speaking to them. For me, one of the more telling phrases in this account comes after Jesus walks up to them and says, what's going on, guys? And they say, don't you know? And he says, know what? And then they proceed to tell Jesus about Jesus. I mean, you know, this is comedy. And at the end, they say, But we had hoped. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. The irony here is that I think that it might be that very hope that had kept them from recognizing Jesus. And this was nothing new, right? This was a problem all through Jesus' ministry. The disciples, along with pretty much all the other Jewish people, had hopes for what a Messiah would bring. They hoped that a Messiah would bring political power, that the Messiah would form a government and rule over the Israelites, and maybe over some of the surrounding nations. They hoped that a Messiah would be a religious leader who would bring them security and safety. They hoped that a Messiah would have economic power, bring them prosperity. They were hoping for a health and wealth kind of Messiah. They hoped that a Messiah would bring them religious power, right? So they could say, we are right and you are wrong, so that they could know themselves to be righteous. They had hoped for all kinds of things from a Messiah, and Jesus had consistently failed to meet their expectations, to fulfill their hopes. Jesus was a different kind of Messiah. And I wonder, as we hear that Jesus approached these two disciples and came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him, what are our hopes for our Savior? What are our expectations of Jesus? And do these hopes and expectations that we share keep us from recognizing Jesus? I think about when these two disciples on the road told Jesus what they were hoping for, and then he goes to respond, and I can just hear Jesus uttering this great big sigh. Okay, let's try this again. Right? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures, just as he had done throughout his ministry with them. Jesus explains to them one more time that all these dreams of victory were not part of the plan, but instead that suffering and the cross were foretold even in the scriptures. And these are hard words. The disciples, even now, can't understand them, can't accept them. I mean, can you imagine, right? But they still can't take it in. They still can't get it. They still don't recognize Jesus. Until they sit at table and Jesus takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to them. This was something they had seen before. This was something they knew. Jesus' teaching remained difficult, but Jesus' presence, Jesus' actions, this they had seen before. They had seen it in the feedings of the multitudes. Remember, the thousands of people gathered, and Jesus would have maybe a few loaves of bread, maybe a few fish, and everybody had plenty to eat. This they had seen before just a few nights earlier at the Last Supper, when Jesus, in the intimacy of this meal with his disciples, had done the same thing. And so the disciples maybe didn't understand the scriptures right away, but they recognized the presence of Jesus in his actions. And it was at this meal that the stranger disappeared. And instead, the disciples knew that they were in the presence of the Messiah, the Christ. We are disciples. That's what baptism means. It's a promise to follow Jesus, to be disciples of Jesus. We are disciples like Cleopas and his friend. This is the Easter season, apparently. Just as this account in our gospel reading today took place on that Easter Sunday. And we too are on a journey. Emmaus may not be our immediate destination, but we're on a journey. And on that journey, we, like the disciples of old, have lots of expectations. We have lots of hopes, lots of desires. And I wonder, how often do those keep us from seeing and recognizing Jesus? We gather together to study the scriptures. Each Sunday, we hear three different lessons read, plus a song. And often those scriptures might remain cloudy to us, at least in part. But then we too celebrate the Holy Eucharist when we encounter the risen Jesus in the bread and the wine. If your experience is like mine, then probably your expectations of the spiritual life frequently don't get met. You may have hopes that are not fulfilled, prayers that are not answered, or sometimes God's timing of God's response may not match up to what you hoped for. I can relate to this. And yet, I wonder if all these things are gifts of God teaching us to trust and encouraging us to let go of our expectations and communicating to us that God's faithfulness is greater than even what we could hope for. I wonder if God is inviting us into a capacity to rest in God's faithfulness, just as those first witnesses encountered Jesus and told the apostles. Just as those apostles recorded these things and passed them down to us, telling us that Jesus is risen. Jesus, perhaps, is today patiently teaching us how to pay attention, how to notice, how to recognize, how to see him, until we too can finally join that chorus and say with all the disciples, "The Lord is risen indeed." Alleluia.